started a series on verses 1 and 2. We'll also look at verse 3 a little bit, but let's read Romans 12. Just read verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Again, this begins a section of the book where the emphasis is upon the practical. Up to this point, the emphasis has been on the character of God and the blessings of salvation. That doesn't mean that the first 11 chapters, there's nothing practical there. There certainly is, especially in Romans chapter 6. But the emphasis in the first 11 chapters is, again, the person, the character of God, the blessings of salvation. And it's important that we see how that first section of the book closes, because that's what flows into this section of the book where the practical is the emphasis. Notice again in Romans 11, verse 33, oh, the depth. Again, he's been talking about the character of God, the blessings of salvation. He's now overwhelmed. He says, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now there's, in those verses, there's a change in tone from everything he said. Again, he's thinking back, I'm sure, upon what he's written, and he's overwhelmed with praise. And that's, we have to keep that in mind, because that's the tone that flows into what we read here in Romans chapter 12. It's the mood that carries us into our text. So beginning with our text, there is a shift in emphasis. Again, it's not like from Romans 12 on, there's nothing doctrinal. That's not true at all. Just like from Romans 1 through 11, it doesn't mean there wasn't anything practical at all, but the emphasis is in different places now. And here in Romans 12, there's a shift in the emphasis, the shift from doctrinal to the practical application of doctrine or truth. Again, he's writing to the called of Jesus Christ. He's writing to the beloved of God, the called to be saints, the vessels of mercy. And now you have this change in the direction of the emphasis. And he's emphasizing here that they be something, that they do something, and what they are to be and to do is based upon the mercies of God. That's where the basis is. That's the motivation, the mercies of God. So he's pleading with them on behalf of the mercies of God to live a life correspondent to the character of God and to the blessings of salvation. So the emphasis now is upon a way of life, a life that has salvation as its basis. It is the salvation life, if you will. So, reading our text, there are specific duties that we the saved, we who are the recipients of the saving mercies of God, there are some specific duties that we are to become, that we are to perform. And the first of these is what we'll look at tonight: present your bodies a living sacrifice. And the character of this sacrifice is that it is holy and it is acceptable unto God. And this is your reasonable service. The second thing that we are called to be and to do is be not conformed to this world. And that is linked to and dependent upon present your bodies a living sacrifice. The only way not to be conformed to the world is present your bodies a living sacrifice. You do that, you will not be conformed to the world. If you try not to be conformed to the world without presenting yourself to the Lord, you're going to fail. So this first statement, present your bodies a living sacrifice, is pivotal. Everything else depends, comes back to this statement. And the third thing is, be ye transformed. And we go, as you read on, you see that requires a renewing of our mind. And all of that results in the fourth matter, that is, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is, you become a living manifestation of what God would have us to be. And that should be all of us, a living manifestation of what God would have us to be. And it goes back to this first duty, and again, they're all dependent upon the mercies of God, but it goes back to this first duty: present your bodies a living sacrifice. So tonight we want to focus upon this first matter: present your bodies a living sacrifice. We want to speak upon a life upon the altar of sacrifice. That ought to be our life. And again, this is a pivotal phrase to everything else that we read in these verses. Everything else is dependent upon this first thing: present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. You can try not to be conformed to the world. You can try to be transformed without surrendering. You will fail every single time. This is the key: present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we want to notice several things about that statement. First of all, it is a personal and a very specific duty that we are called to here. Notice the word that ye. The word that, of course, introduces something very specific, something very particular, something very definite. That ye, that's personal. Present your, again, personal. So this is personal, and it involves something very specific. So this is not a duty that is just reserved for a few individuals, but it is the duty of each and every saved individual, no matter who they are, no matter what their circumstances might be. And again, this is reasonable. What he's calling us to do is not extreme, it's not excessive, but it's reasonable. In other words, it's appropriate. It's appropriate to you and I being the recipients of the mercies of God. It is suitable to you and I who have been blessed of the mercies of God. It is the logical way for the recipients of God's saving mercy to live. It is the way that makes sense for a child of God to live. So it is personal, it is specific. We see, secondly, the spirit in which it is to be carried out. Again, remember Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. That sets the tone, that sets the mood of what we read here. And it tells us something of the spirit in which we're to carry this duty out. So we're in Romans 11, 33 through 36, Paul is very much aware of, he's overwhelmed with who God is. He's aware of and overwhelmed at the blessings bestowed by the mercies of God. And he says, present your bodies. Present. That tells us about the spirit in which this duty is to be performed. To present is a spirit of readiness. By that we mean eagerness. It's something that we ought to be eager to do. It's not something that we ought to have to be told to do. It's not something that we should have to be argued with. It's something that we ought to be very eager to do. Why? Because of the mercies of God. So the spirit of this duty is one of eagerness. It's one of enthusiasm. It's one of quickness. We see what we're called to do here is a call for immediate action. That doesn't have anything about tomorrow. This is immediate action. Present. It's also indicative of a spirit of cheerfulness. We ought to do so. We ought to be happy to perform this duty. We ought to be very glad to perform this duty. There ought to be an exuberance in performing this duty. The word present is also indicative of that which is voluntary. It's something that we elect to do. It's something that we do without charge. In other words, you do not do this because of what you might gain from it. You do it because of the mercies of God, because you are a recipient of the mercies of God. And if you don't get anything out of it, if God doesn't bestow a single blessing upon you, you're to do it anyway. You're to do it without charge. It's getting rid of self. And it's also to be, it not only is it voluntary, but it's compulsory. That is, the mercies of God compel us to perform this duty. So let's look at the duty itself. Present your bodies. That is the specific duty that we are called upon to do. Present your bodies. That immediately takes us back to the Old Testament, to the burnt offerings and to the sacrifices. Immediately our mind goes back to the burnt offerings of the Old Testament. So it pictures the laying of a sacrificial animal upon an altar. That sacrificial animal was put upon that altar unreservedly. It was placed unreservedly at God's disposal. And just as the animal's body was put on the altar, was an entire offering unto God. So we're to do the same. We are to present ourselves entirely to God. Entirely. 100% to God. Now in our text, Paul is earnestly and with much fervency, he's pleading with these recipients of the mercies of God. He's begging them, he's urging them, he's exhorting them. Present your bodies. Present your bodies. Now there are four aspects to this that we want to consider. Present your bodies. Number one, the one who does the presenting. We need to consider that. The person, the character of the one that does the presenting. In Matthew 16, if we turn over there, Jesus spoke of contrasting ideas and perspectives concerning life. In verse 23, he speaks of those who savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. So you have two ideas there. You have two perspectives. You have the things that be of God, and you have the things that be of men. Two entirely different views. Two entirely different ideas. Polar opposites. The things that be of God, the things that be of man. Who is it that's going to present their bodies? Who is it that's going to do that? It's the one who savors the things that be of God. The one who savors the things that be of men will never present themselves as it's brought forth here in Romans 12, verse 1. So, looking at the one who does the presenting, they have to be settled on the things that be of God. And therein lies the problem. That is why you have to beg and plead with people to just simply serve God. Because they're not interested in the things that be of God. They're more interested in the things that be of men. And therefore they will not present themselves. Now notice in verse 25, for whosoever will. So there's a choice here. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So once again, we have two different ideas, two different perspectives. They line up with what we've just said here in verse 23. There are those who desire to save their life. That is, they live for self. They put forth all of their energy toward self. They live to save their life. These are the same ones who are more concerned with the things that be of men than the things that be of God. And then we see there are those who are in the category of whosoever will lose his life. That is, this individual is willing to give up his life for a cause. The cause, of course, being God. So you have two polar opposite ideas, perspectives, and they're both a choice. Whosoever will, we see in verse 25 twice. So they're both a choice. And the choice is based upon who we are. That's always so. People make choices based on their character. They make choices based upon who they are. And so it is here. We make this choice, whether it be the things that be of God or the things that be of man, and the choice we make declares who we are. It declares what we are. So, it's a choice based upon who we are. It's also a choice based upon what we know. And again, our text, that ye present your bodies. So this involves, if we're going to do this, if we're going to present ourselves, there has to be a realization, there has to be an acknowledgement that God has all rights and all claim upon my life. That has to be. We will not present ourselves, as the text explains here, we will not present ourselves if we do not realize and acknowledge God has all rights and God has all claim upon my life. Without that realization, without that acknowledgement, none of the rest of Romans 12, 1 and 2 happens. It doesn't happen. There has to be this realization. There has to be this acknowledgement. And I dare say that the majority of those who profess Christ do not realize and acknowledge that God has all rights and every claim upon our life. And it's obvious. It's obvious that they do not realize that. It's obvious they do not acknowledge that because they will try to defend not serving the Lord. They will try to defend a lifestyle that is contrary because they do not realize God has every right to my life in every area of my life. He has claim upon it, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays. So there has to be, if we're going to present ourselves, there has to be this realization. There has to be this acknowledgement. And it has its basis in that we are the blessed recipients of the saving mercy of God. Which tells us that in order to do this duty, we have to have a sense, we have to have a feeling. Due to the mercies of God, there has to be a sense or feeling of devotion to God. There are a lot of people who profess salvation who have no sense of devotion to God whatsoever. No sense of allegiance to the Lord. No sense of loyalty to the Lord. We're not going to present ourselves if we do not have this sense of devotion and allegiance and loyalty to the Lord. So without this sense, without this feeling, nothing else happens. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, nothing else happens. So it takes not just anyone is going to present themselves to the Lord. It's going to be an individual who realizes and acknowledges God has every right to every aspect of my life. God has every claim to every area of my life. There are people today who are very content in, I attend once a month or whatever, once every 2 weeks, or every service. And they think they've done something special. But God has every right to every area of your life. We have to realize that, or we'll never present ourselves to the Lord. And we have to feel, because of the mercies of God, we feel a sense of devotion to the Lord. We feel an allegiance to God. I just cannot understand, nor do I want to, how a saved person can argue for more allegiance to a job than the Lord. I don't understand that. Because if you have any grasp of the mercies of God, you feel an allegiance and a loyalty to the Lord. So it involves, all of this involves a position of reverence for the Lord. We're not going to present ourselves if we do not have a reverence, a thankfulness for the Lord. So we see the person who would present themselves. That brings us to the second aspect of this duty, and that is the actual presenting. What does that mean? Present your bodies. Present your bodies. It means that we give them up. Who's going to do that? Those who realize that God has every right and all claim. Those who feel a sense of devotion and allegiance. They will give up themselves. They will relinquish. They will renounce all rights and all claims to their own life. You don't have any problem renouncing all your so-called rights and claims when you realize and when you acknowledge God has all rights and claims. So it gets back to who we are. You know the reason why people do not present their bodies to the Lord? It's because of who they are. They don't have the character to do so. It means that we yield, we commit, we dedicate, we submit our being to God. It consists of offering ourselves to the Lord. It's just like Isaiah chapter 6, "Here am I, Lord, send me." You offer yourself to the Lord. It's handing over our entire being to God. Who's going to do that? Those who believe He has every right to every area of your life. If we refuse to hand over our being to God, is it not because we feel that there are certain areas of our life that I have right over? So until you come to the realization that He has every right and every claim, until you have this sense of devotion, you're not going to do this presenting. It's not going to happen. And how many preachers today spend so much time begging and pleading with people to and trying to logically reason with them why they should yield themselves to the Lord. It's not going to happen. Because they're not who they need to be. They're not who they need to be. And that's the root of the problem. So it is a complete and entire resignation of ourselves and all that we have. That's what's being called for. That's the presenting. It's what Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians 15:31 when he said, "I die daily." That's what it means to present our bodies. Again, present your bodies. That is further explained, what it means is further explained by the word holy. The root word, the root meaning being set apart. To present our bodies means that we set apart ourselves from the ordinary and common. We set apart ourselves as God's possession, as God's treasure. And we set apart ourselves for God's use, however He sees fit to use us. Because why? He has every right and He has all claim. And we have this sense of devotion and allegiance. It is the same idea set forth in Exodus 32:29. Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves. That's the same as present. Consecrate yourselves. That's a call to be devoted. It's a call to be loyal. It's a call to be faithful. It's a call to be firm and steadfast and unwavering and wholehearted and passionate and fervent and pledged in the cause of the Lord. And again, it all goes back to this realization and acknowledgement that God has every right over every area of my life. So those who realize and acknowledge God's right and claim, and who sense the mercy of God in their life, they will present themselves to the Lord. That phrase, present your bodies, it's not something we're merely to give some thought to. It's not something we're just to ponder. It's a call to immediate action. It's what we're to do. There's to be no hesitation. Why would you hesitate? If you believe that God has, the only reason you would hesitate is because you think you have some right in your life. You have some claim in some area of your life. But if you truly realize that He has all right and all claim, you don't hesitate. You present yourself. There's to be no timidness. What's there to be timid about? Present your bodies, a living sacrifice unto God. What's there to be timid about? Nothing. We need to hear this call. It's not about tomorrow. It's not about a week from now or a month from now or a year from now. It's not about the future. It's about right now. Present your bodies right now. It's not, well, you know, when this works out and this and this and this, then I'll be able to. You never will. And the reason you never will is because, again, it's what you are. It's what you are. You got to have this realization and acknowledgement of God. So here we are in a day when it's nothing for God's people to shrug off God, shrug off the messages of God, in a day when most, even those who are truly saved, are satisfied with just spiritual mediocrity and hypocrisy, satisfied with mechanical religion. But we are right now to present our bodies to the Lord. So that's the act of presenting. We ought to feel a pressing urgency to do so. The third aspect is that which is presented. We have the presenter. We have the presenting. It's a relinquishing. But it is, what is it that is presented? Well, in our text it says, present your bodies. Again, it takes us back to the Old Testament burnt offering. And it means our entire self. That animal, of that body of that animal was all burnt up. The entire thing. So when it says present your bodies, it is presenting our entire self. All that we have, every aspect, every detail of our lives. It is our entire life. It is handing over our very life to God. It is relinquishing all claims upon our lives. It is an entire resignation of ourselves. It is yielding and confining the totality of our being to God. It's what Jesus spoke of in Matthew 16:24. If any man come after me, let him deny himself in entirety. It's our entire life. That is what is being presented. Present your bodies. So how far reaching is this? How extensive is this? Well, that is seen in those words, present your bodies a living sacrifice. We are to be a sacrifice in living. We are to be a sacrifice in our life. That includes our time. That includes our money. That includes our possessions. That includes our abilities. It includes everything in our life. We are to hand it all over to God. We're to simply let go. We are a living sacrifice. And it is inclusive of every aspect of our life, not just our religious life. It is inclusive of every detail and every circumstance of our life. Nothing is off limits. And you don't have a problem with that if you believe that God has all rights over my life. God has all claims over my life. Once we believe that, and once we have a sense of devotion and allegiance because we are the recipients of God's mercy, we don't have any problem thinking that nothing is off limits to God. Nothing is excluded. Present your bodies. Nothing's held back for ourselves. Nothing's held back just in case it doesn't work. I have plan B to fall back on. This is an entire surrendering our entire life. It's our lives being sacred for God. It's you and I saying, I'm not holding anything back from the Lord. Because He has every right to every area of my life. And because I am the recipient of His wonderful and amazing mercies, I'm not holding anything back. That's reasonable. Nothing excessive about it. I'm not keeping anything to myself. I'm willing to lay everything down about God. I'm not concerned about me. I'm not worried about what I can save for my own personal interest. It is the attitude I surrender all to God. Why? Because of who He is. Because He loves me. And because I want to serve Him, I present it all to God. And we are to do so without any apprehension. We're to do so without any hesitation. We're to surrender all. So what is being presented here is our life. So you have the presenter. You have the presentation, what that means, to relinquish, to let go. And you have what is being presented. Which brings us to the fourth aspect, to whom the presentation is made. Notice what it says. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Key words there are unto God. It is giving ourselves, all of ourselves, to God. So in a day when so many who profess salvation are trying to shape God around their plans, trying to fit God somehow into their plans, their desires, their whims, their ways, their pursuits, their careers, their families, their recreations, trying to shape God into all of those things, our lives are to be unto God. What that means is that all of our plans are to be unto God. Our desires, our ways, our pursuits, our careers, our families are to be unto God. You say, well, church is one thing, family's another. No. God has every right to every area of your life. If you don't get that, you'll never serve Him. You never will. You'll never do what this verse says. And hence, that's why many today never do. Because they do not realize some basic truths about God, about the salvation that has been granted them. Unto God. That means it's my life, every aspect of it, is to be about Him. Unto God. Present your life unto God. It's all for Him. All of it. And this requires that God be our desire. Is anyone going to present their life to God who does not desire God? No. And that's why many do not present their lives to God. They have no desire for God. So this requires a desire for God. It requires a longing for God, a yearning for the Lord. It means that God is our aspiration. It means God is our excitement. God is our conviction. And when that is so, we will present ourselves. But that has to be so. So, it's everything about our lives is to be unto God. That is, everything in our lives is to be moving in the direction of God. Every fiber of our being is to be drawn to God. Unto God. It is filling up our lives with God. Why is it today that God's people do not have time to do the things in the service of God? It's because they fill up their lives, or they allow their lives to be filled with the things of men. We need to fill our lives with God. That's what it means to present our entire lives to God. We fill up our lives with God. We want our lives filled with God. Today, people don't have time for church things, but they have time for every other thing. Why is that? Well, they've made a choice. And the choice is based on who they are. And who they are is the things of men rather than the things of God. I mean, it's very simple. There's nothing complicated about it. People make it complicated because they don't want the simple truth. But it's God filling our lives. It means that He's my reason for living. He's my purpose for living. He's the basis of my life. He's the cause. He's the interest of my life unto God. That means He's the center. This is not excessive. This is reasonable. He is to be the priority. He's to be the passion. He's to be the aim. He's to be the dominating and controlling factor of my life. And that's what it means to present ourselves unto God. Unto God. It means that our lives are lived in regard to God. It means that our lives are lived in respect of God. It means that our lives are lived in behalf of God. It's unto Him. Unto Him. We've already seen that the presenting means that we lose sight of ourselves, but it's also being, not only do we lose sight of ourselves, we become absorbed with God. Unto God. It's putting God first. God first. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. There has to be a driving force to cause us to present ourselves unto God. There has to be something that leads us beyond ourselves Something stronger than all the other pullings and drawings. Every one of us are pulled in many different directions by the world and the cares of life. That's part of life. But there has to be, if we're going to live for God, there has to be something that is stronger than all the other pullings and drawings. And that's God. And that's who the presentation is made unto. It's the mercies of God. It's living in the reality and the acknowledgement of the mercies of God. So present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is acceptable unto God. This is pleasing unto the Lord, which provides more motivation. Why should I present myself to God? Reason number one, because of who He is. He's God and I'm not. That's all you need. But there's also the blessings of salvation. There's also this. It's acceptable unto Him. It pleases God. That ought to motivate us to give our entire life unto the Lord. And Christ, of course, is our example. Jesus Christ is a picture of a life fully aligned with God. Now, none of us have a life that is fully aligned with God. I doubt if any of us are even close. But there is one whose life was fully, completely aligned with God. And that's Jesus Christ. And we're to be being conformed to His image. You see, Christ typifies, He epitomizes, He embodies, He illustrates, He demonstrates full surrender to God. And He said there in John 17:9, He said, I sanctify myself. That is, I set myself apart. I sanctify myself. That's what it means to present our lives unto God. And in closing, let me say that this first act, present your bodies unto God, that's the key to truly living for and serving the Lord. That's the key to a relationship with the Lord. That is the key to living above this world. That is the key to having God's power upon our life. That is the key to being useful in God's service. That is the key to peace. You know why many don't have peace? Because they won't let go of their own stinking life. They won't let go of their own ways and their own desires and their own plans. The way to have peace is present your bodies. The way to have joy, the way to have assurance, the way to have courage, the way to have contentment is found in these words. And may I say, it's also the key to avoiding many of the struggles and problems of life. We bring a lot of problems into our life because we refuse to surrender to God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and that'll prevent a lot of struggles and a lot of problems in your lives. We add to our own problems by failing to give ourselves to God. And it is also the key to a life of liberation. You want liberty? Give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. It is the key to a life of freedom. It is the key to a life of liberation. It is the key to keeping the clutter out of our lives. Now, there are people who are hoarders. There are a lot of spiritual hoarders in the world. They hoard up everything of the world. And before long, they can't even move. They're confined into a box. And they can't serve God because they're too busy. Because they can't get around. Because they brought so much clutter into their lives. And the way to keep the clutter out is give yourself to God. That'll do it. That'll prevent a lot of clutter in our lives. Remember, Jesus said it was the cares of the world that choked the word. In doing what we just read here tonight, Romans 12:1, will keep the cares of life from strangling you too. There are many people who are being strangled by the cares of life. We can't avoid the cares of life, but we can sure avoid being strangled by them. And that is, present yourself. Full surrender to God is to be our constant pursuit. So there's many things we're called to do here in these verses. But this is, the first act is pivotal. Everything else depends upon this. You don't get past that part, there's no sense in even reading it on. You're not going to do any of the rest. You're going to be conformed to the world. You're not going to be transformed. You're going to become the world. If you cannot do this very first thing. And if you can't do it, it's because of who you are. It's not because of anyone else. It's because of who you are. You don't have what is necessary to present your life to God. So that's where we have to start. We have to make sure that we are the person who can do this. That means, again, that we recognize and we acknowledge God has every right in my life. Every right. If God wants to fill my body with disease, He has every right to do that. If God wants to take everything away from me, He has every right to do that. Every right. Every claim. If God wants to give me abundance, He has every right to do that. You get mad at someone else because they have more, it's because you do not realize that God has a right to give them and not you. You've got a real problem. And you'll never serve the Lord until that problem is taken care of. God's people are good. Preachers are too. Just putting band-aids on problems. We need to get to the point where we can present our life unto the Lord. Because it's the only thing that works. Brother Tim, if you'd come.